Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, fellas? Welcome back to today's episode of Convos Over Cold Brew with me, your host, Emma Abrahamson. Today we have a fun guest on. It's my old teammate at the University of Oregon and also Nike professional runner, Jessica Hull. I'm sure you guys are familiar with her. She represents Australia and she has already established herself on the professional running scene. Even just after her rookie year, she's already set multiple Australian national records and much more of her to come. Also, we have our first video podcast today. Jess and I recorded on video. It's on YouTube. Just type in Convos Over Cold Brew Podcast on YouTube and you can find it there. So if you want to watch the video version, go check it out. And I'm going to be attempting to do this from now on, the video version too. So go subscribe to Convos Over Cold Brew Podcast on YouTube if you want to stay up to date on that and watch it on video instead. And let's get straight into the episode. What's up, fellas? Welcome back to Convos Over Cold Brew. We're here with Jessica Hull, who I'm sure you guys have already, you already know about her. You're already familiar with her. Whether or not you watch any of my stuff, you definitely already know her from that or just from the running world, because now she's literally a legend in the running world already. Jess, welcome to the podcast. Do you want to give a little rundown of who you are?
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Emma. I was so excited when you asked. I was like, wow, okay.
You knew I was going to ask you. Come on.
I was kind of like, I wondered if it was coming, and then I was listening to all your guests, and I'm saying, I was just like, oh, maybe one day, but I enjoy listening. You keep it really interesting, so.
Love, and it's cool to
kind of know the people that you have on. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. You were next. You knew it.
But yeah, no, I guess I'm Jess. I was teammates with Emma Oregon for 3 or 4 years, maybe.
Somewhere around there. Sure. 20, yeah, it's like 2015, 20, like yeah. 3 years.
Yeah, I think initially I was the hairdresser who traveled with the team for the cross country.
Mm-hmm. Braids by Jessica, we love it.
But yeah, no, we have been teammates and friends for 5 years now. That is crazy.
I know. I still remember when you first showed up to Oregon, man. Time flies.
It feels like yesterday when we got there, really.
No.
Like, I said on Facebook the other week, it was like the memory of her dropping me off in Oregon. And it was like, as if that was 5 years ago. So yeah, time goes really quick. And here we are over Convo Over Cold Brew right now. Cheers.
Got
to
our
you.
Cold brews. Cheers. Literally went out of my way 45 minutes to get this morning. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no. Dedication. I also just love those. I've been getting it every day. $5.25 for this every day.
Well spent, though. There's a little bakery just down a couple of doors down from where I'm staying right now, and I wasn't sure quite how I was going to communicate cold brew.
Yeah, where are you right now?
I am just outside of Frankfurt right now, so okay. In Germany, and I was like, I know I can ask for coffee because you just, it's caffeine.
Is that how it works? I've never been to Germany.
I was like, I wonder what they'll do if I ask for cold brew, but the menu had iced coffee, so I was like, I'll go with that one.
That sounds accurate.
Places I'll get.
Yeah. How is the season going so far? Where have you been? Where are you off to next?
Yeah, so season has been great so far. It's been a lot of fun, and it's all thanks to Pete kind of to believing that we could have a season this year. He didn't really stop trying to get us over to Europe in some capacity. And so we started off in Monaco, which was Remy, the meet organizer there for the Monaco Diamond League, and Pete have just gone back and forth for months just making sure this could happen. And we started off in Monaco, went to Sweden, and then came to Germany. So I've stopped off in a few towns along the way. I was in Monaco and then Stockholm, Göteborg, Berlin, and now I'm just outside of Frankfurt, and I will head into Doha on Sunday.
Oh my gosh, going back.
Heading back exactly a year after, basically. So that's kind of crazy that a year ago I was over there for World Champs, and in the chaos that was 2020, I get to go back 12 months later. So yeah.
That is crazy. What are you racing?
I'm going to run a 3K in Doha. So somewhere between the 15 and the 5. And I think I ran a 3K in the end of July back at home, and it was a monsoon, total, like, just pouring down rain.
You did so well in that, though.
It was a lot of fun, and I think I'd had great guys that offered to pace me, so it was kind of about, like, well, I was like, I can't let it go now. Like, these guys have traveled 2 hours to pace me in the middle of a pandemic, and Western Sydney was a hotspot at that time, so I was just like, well, they still came, so I need to run fast.
Yeah, what did you end up running in that?
8:41 unofficially, because I had male paces, so it doesn't count for anything. It was a good setup for Monaco. So
yeah, man, I just can't even imagine someone running 8:41. I can't, like, even just thinking back to a couple of years ago, like, could you imagine running that fast?
I remember with Lily breaking 9 for the first time, barely, and just thinking, wow, we are amazing. We are
Well, anyone that broke 9, I was like, whoa. Like,
that was so fast. And it was like, how do you possibly even go faster?
Or like anyone that ran under like 4:15, you were like, man, wow. Like, that person's going to win NCAAs.
Yeah, seriously.
What do you think the biggest change has been for you since, like, I don't know, college? Or, like, even in the middle of college, I feel like you had, like, a super big breakthrough.
Yeah, I think I just started to really kind of be persevering in my own right kind of thing. Like, sort of just believing that, like, I do belong out there, and, like, I can be here. And now it's up to me to see how far I can take it. And sort of once I took ownership of what I was doing and kind of started to work to my potential, it took a while, but it did. It sort of showed, I guess, my junior year indoors. And then by the outdoors, I had a big breakthrough. But it was just like kind of shifting in that mentality of like, I want to do this and I get to do this. And I want to see how far I can go. I don't want to leave it untapped and possibly always look back and think, oh, what would have happened if I just committed a little bit more? So yeah, that was definitely the shift, was just like, I want to see what I can do, not I just want to make up the numbers. Yeah.
Do you think that you brought that shift on, or do you think it was like outward expectations or people telling you to do it?
I think, I guess, like, people believing that I could do it, like my dad, Marisa, when she was coaching us, and then even just like you guys as a team, like, we had so much fun. And I think kind of finding like how much that, if you love the sport, but truly enjoying it and enjoying the day to day, which we did as a team, it just like re-sparked it. And kind of then having people who hadn't wavered in their belief in me and that could see that, like, I could do it if I put my mind to it, was definitely the powerful shift in that, like, okay, these people think I can do it. I'm going to back myself. And I would have, especially with Marisa too, like, she had such a connection with us that you wanted to run well for her. Like, she put so much time and effort into us that it wasn't just about like, oh, okay, like, I'll see what I can do today. It was like, no, like, I want to run well for Marisa. And I think that definitely set us up. And it's the same now with Pete. It's like, he puts so much time into us that I'm just like, when I stand out there with pride to represent what he's done as well to get me to the start line. So probably unwavering belief from good people around me and truly having fun with it from being surrounded by awesome teammates and keeping it lighthearted, especially in cross country when we were suffering quite a bit.
When you and I would suffer, and Ashley, all the 1500 runners being like, man, we're really doing this 6K today, aren't we?
Yep, and it would always take one of us to have to, like, commit to it big in the middle.
It was like, okay, which one of the 3 1500 runners is it going to be today? Who's going to hold on? Who's going to die?
Oh, I just remember regionals, I think the year that we did go on to win NCAAs at regionals, Ashley decided with, like, a mile to go, Well, I'm going.
Yeah, I was out the back from that one. That one, oh my gosh, and pre-nats. Oh, I've never died so hard in my life. Like, we were all together through 4K, and you guys just kept the same pace, and I just died. Like, that one was not my day. And then Ashley came through again at NCAAs, too. Like, because Ashley was, she wasn't doing that well at the beginning of the season. She was kind of having, like, some rough races or, like, off days.
Yeah.
And NCAAs came around, and she, like, secured the bag for the team.
Yeah. Yeah. Remember her and Marisa came up with, like, the watch concept. Of, like,
yeah, I was like, what is this?
And she could always see how and figure out in her head how far she had to go. She was going to get it right. So, yeah, that was cool. And I think, remember, it was like 4 minutes to go or something. It was like, okay, 4 minutes, 4 minutes. Okay, okay, okay.
Yeah, exactly. For more context, our teammate Ashley, she, I don't know when we discovered it. I don't know if it was before you got there or it was when you like first got there. I mean, you got there like not that long after I did. But she, like when she works out, and when it starts to get hard, she, like, whispers, like, okay, 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 like, under her breath. So you can, like, audibly hear, like, if you're working out next to her, like, you can hear her saying, okay. And she had no idea that it was happening until we pointed it out. But it's kind of reassuring, you know?
Oh, definitely. It's like, it's either, like, okay, or it's like, okay, I can do it.
Yeah, okay, this is hard. Like, 1K into the 6K and you hear it. What happened during races?
I can't say I noticed it in races. I just remember that regional meet with the 4 minutes to go, and it was like, okay, 4 minutes, and we were together. Like, all right, let's try for four more minutes.
Yeah, it's so funny, like, just because for Ashley, like, that mental shift of having the watch to, like, because she was really good at hitting paces in practice. She was never having any off days in practice, so I guess that's why she was wearing the watch. Like, our coach helped come up with the idea, like, because usually she would die at, like, I don't know, 4K or, like, 3K even sometimes. So if she wore the watch, that she would, like, stick on the pace because she could do it easily in practice.
Yeah.
But it's just funny because it's, like, there was no change in fitness. It was literally only just wearing a watch.
The difference from when we got beat to death in Tucson 2 weeks prior to that regional meet in Sacramento was all in a watch.
I know. And then NCAAs, too.
Yeah. I think sometimes it shows we probably overcomplicate things sometimes, being like so set on like specific race plans and you have to move at 1200 meters to go or something, whereas simplifying it down to just sort of wearing your watch and getting that direct feedback was the key to us coming through by 1 point at NCAAs.
I will still, like, I feel like I talk about it way too much for how long ago it was.
I probably honestly watched the video of us finding out we won at least once a month.
Like, I was just gonna say the same. I don't know why, it just like brings back such good memories. That season was so funny.
So yeah, so funny, so much fun. And then like we just did the unthinkable.
Just thinking of the team from 2012 that won at Oregon to compare to our 2016 team, like, or even the conversation the night before where it's like Colorado's gonna win.
Colorado's going to win, but if we can score like 150 points, we can get a trophy.
Yeah, there we go. That was the goal. And
meanwhile.
Yeah. Do you miss running cross country? Are you going to be running anymore, like cross country, do you think?
Oh, I don't know. We talked about it briefly because Australia has the World Cross Country Championships so far. They're supposed to be in March next year, but it probably isn't going to happen because there's so many quarantine rules going into Australia. They're probably going to get moved maybe to the end of the year instead. So we have talked about it a little bit because like racing at home in a world championships of some kind is a pretty cool thing to do, and you don't get the chance to do that very often. But 10K now as a senior athlete.
Oh man, I forgot. There there is the 6K. Not even to an 8K to a 10K?
10K, I know. And just looking at like World Cross is notoriously brutal. Like I went as a junior in China and it was probably my worst result ever, and it was just so like it was the hardest thing I'd ever done, and like the feel, there's so many people around you and everything, so it was just super eye-opening. And then to think of that translating over a 10k, and then how they had the course in Aarhus last time, so nearly I guess a year and a half ago now, like Wow, I think the World Cross would be a whole nother beast, but maybe I will, if it's a home course and I can make it work with track and not sort of choose that over a track meet, maybe I'll give it a go.
I feel like you do well nowadays, like in every, I mean, you always have, but in anything like people throw at you. So I feel like you would do great.
I don't know, 10K cross country, there might be a limit
at the moment. Yeah, what is the limit? You have to find it sometime.
Yeah, you got to push, you got to find a limit. So
yeah, maybe now's the time or whenever that happens. Yeah. So I remember in college, like you were, I mean, you ran the 5K sometimes and like the 3K. How have you liked that distance now? Because I feel like you were more of a 1500 runner, or you definitely like preferred the 1500. But now yeah. You're killing it in these long events. So has that changed now?
I think honestly now I just train a bit more for the event, which makes it more bearable. So I remember I joined Pete around like the 1st of July last year, and one of the first things he had me do was a 4 mile tempo on Amazon because I was still going up to Portland on weekends but staying in Eugene for the week to finish summer school. And he had me do a 4 mile tempo at like 5:30 pace, and I thought he was crazy. I was like,
oh no.
I was just like,
on Amazon too.
Like 4 miles at a pace I've never, like 4 miles straight, I've never done that. At a pace I've never done. I'll just see how it goes. So I just was like, all right, I'll just run this like a cross country race, I guess.
Right. I mean, that has to be like the race mentality.
Solo on the Amazon Trail.
Stop.
So yeah, that was my first sort of experience of like, all right, we're gonna get really strong. I haven't worked this system before. So they have drastically improved since then. I now don't dread when I see a tempo in the program. I actually
couldn't
really
be me.
I actually really enjoy it. And we do now, even with COVID this year, we had the chance to kind of extend them out a bit longer, and now I see a 5 mile tempo at whatever pace is set, and I'm like, all right, like I can do it. I still notoriously, as a 1500 meter runner, run the first mile too fast, and I'm trying to figure out that sweet spot. I think they would be even better if I just would not do that, but it's habit, and I'm working on it.
Yeah. I mean, you have plenty of years ahead of you to learn that, you know?
Yeah. So that's definitely the biggest thing that was like made the 5K better, is just like training for them and being able to sustain the longer workouts. And I had such a good experience in Berlin in my first like real 5K, I would say, last year, that given that it was in the Olympic Stadium, it was had a huge crowd and it was just a fun race, that I think having such a positive experience made me want to run it a little bit more. Maybe if I tried to run 15 flat at something very small with no crowd and not in an Olympic Stadium with so much history, maybe 15 flat wouldn't have been as positive. So I think there was a lot of variables that went into making me kind of want to explore it a bit more. And then when you get the chance to run a 5K in the Monaco Stadium in the Diamond League, you definitely grab that one with two hands. So it's been a lot more positive than we could have predicted 12 months ago in that tempo.
That's good. What is your PR now? Something insane.
1443.
Oh my gosh, dude. I cannot imagine people running that fast. Like you and Carissa, because I see Carissa all the time. But I'm just like,
just entering the straightaway still, sorry.
Yeah, I'm like yeah, that too. I'm like, how does she run 1426 or whatever she ran? I'm like, that literally, like, I thought breaking 16 was good.
It's massive. And it is. Like, when I look at, like, the current Alicia Szabo, who runs for the Ducks now, she's just run, like, 15:50. And I think, man, that is so fast. And then I'm like, well, she was in the Monaco race and chasing the French junior record. And I'm like, wow, it's so different from 15:50 down to 14:43. But, yeah, so it's definitely, I mean, I don't know if I can run any faster at this present time. I
okay, well, you just ran that, so.
My instructions were that if the race was 5,001 meters, I was blacked out on the track, and I think I hit that one out of the park. So 5,000 meters in 1443 was the absolute most I could get out of myself.
Well, that's good. I mean, that you showed that you pushed it to your physical limit. What is like the biggest difference between running like 1550 and running 14:45.
I think just learning how to hurt kind of thing. Like, it doesn't get any more comfortable. You just have to get better at not succumbing to pain, basically. Like, it's physically, like, I think, I don't know, probably from about 15, I don't know because I'm not a coach and I don't, like, the science side, someone else might disagree, but maybe from 15:20 to about 15 flat, most people can probably hit the same sort of workouts, but it's the difference in being able to, like, embrace it when it gets incredibly painful. That probably makes the difference between being like a 15-minute runner and a 15:20 runner. And then it's probably similar in terms of going from like 15 down to 14:50, and then just those smaller increments the faster you get. But just sort of being able to learn how to hurt. And that was something I said I had to learn how to do this year, was not be so smiley down the last straightaway and learn how to grit it up.
Yeah, okay. Is that a smile or is it a wince?
So I don't know. I think it is a smile, because like, I love being out there, and I do. I think Marisa taught us, remember, like, get excited about what you're doing as you're doing it. Mm-hmm. So I think it does come out as like, I'm so excited to be like, I'm contending here. But then the more I get through these hard workouts and stuff, I think it is a wince, and I've just learned how to disguise it.
I just like can't tell. I'm like, she has to be in pain. I mean, everyone else around her is. I'm like, I can't distinguish. But it looks like a smile. Like, you have to be one of the most photogenic runners I've ever seen in my life. I'm like, how do you look like that? You're like, you're never on the down.
Oh, and no, I am.
Maybe the photos I see, you're just not. You're like never on the down, coming down the home stretch, and you're like smiling. I'm like, what?
I'm just happy to be here, I guess. Yeah.
Just happy to be here. I'm not even in pain, so what can I say?
Oh man, no, it definitely hurts just as much as it the girl next to me.
yeah. And okay, so you made the Olympic team.
Yeah, in the 5000, which is crazy.
yeah, exactly. Are you gonna try for the 1500 too, or are you just gonna keep it at the 5?
Yeah, I'll try for the 15. We really, like, to be honest, don't know which one we'll pick for next year if I can qualify in both. Still got to qualify for the 15. But, I mean, I trust Pete to make the decision. And, like, I feel like we're just getting started. So if there's so many ways to go about progression. And you see someone like Shelby who started in the longer stuff and came back to the 15. And maybe we'll take that path. Or maybe we feel really confident in the 1500 next year. Like, it's just going to be a case of what fits for where I'm at, and knowing that we can always go back up or back down later on, and not being like stuck in the box of just a 1500 or just the 5k for the future. So we'll see. I mean, I definitely feel more confident in the 15, and especially coming off the Monaco 5k, like, wow, the idea of running two of them in 72 hours the round.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Cannot fathom that at the moment, which, I mean, we have 12 months. So if in the back of Pete's mind right now, he knows that I'm going to run the 5, I'm sure he's going to get me ready to do that. But it just, like, I think it was 11, 12 days coming off that Monaco 5K before I felt okay again. So I can't imagine what, especially similar conditions to, it was hot in Monaco and Tokyo is going to be hot and humid, like kind of doing two in the span of 3 days. I don't know what could come of that.
Yeah. But, and then if you ran the 1500, how many rounds would you have to do? Is it two still?
It's 3 rounds in 5 days for Tokyo. So it was for Doha last year, it was heat and semi back to back, and then a day off and a final. And so even though I didn't make the final, I tried to kind of sort of see like how I would feel on day 4 if I, like, just kind of, obviously I didn't race and I actually started my break. So I didn't know.
So it's hard to tell.
Not sure how much of an insight it was, but kind of knowing, at least knowing how I backed up back to back days was a good thing to take away from Doha. And then kind of sort of feeling, even though I didn't run the day in between what would have been the semi and the final, being like, oh, I don't feel too bad. So good things to note going forward. But Tokyo is 3 rounds in 5 days, so you would run heat, day off, semi, day off, final. So that's a whole different ballpark in itself again. So it's hard to predict what that would look like, because, you know, sometimes you feel better immediately following before you've had time to get sore. So yeah, I'm just going to trust the team around me to make sure that I know how to handle those kinds of, whether it's 2 days off between the 5K rounds, if I can get through the first round, and then whether it's like 3 rounds over 5 days, I'm sure that they've got the experience to make sure I'm ready to go.
Yeah, man, I cannot believe that you're going to the Olympics. It's crazy just to like see my friends and old teammates now, like, oh yeah, we're probably going to make the Olympic team, or like Carissa's setting like American records. I'm like, you guys are all my age and you guys are like absolutely destroying it. It's just like, how do you feel that you're going to be an Olympian?
Yeah, it's pretty I feel like this year has kind of been a strange year to qualify for the team, because they have named me on the team, but there is still that like question mark over what happens. And I'm like until I stand on the start line and finish a round of something, I don't think I can call myself an Olympian, because it's just, it hasn't happened yet. And there's so much uncertainty that like being on the team is like huge, to know that like we are training towards it eventually, but until I've ran a race and finished it, I think there's gonna be a little bit of surrealism until it's like actually like, oh wow, I ran in the Olympics and I'm an Olympian now.
Like, okay, say 4 years ago, like, could you have imagined that you'd be going to, well, now it's 2021 Olympics, but like, would you have imagined that you were going to Tokyo?
So I guess I did, because I didn't remember this, but Elsie, actually, when I lived with her freshman year, she messaged me when they named me on the team, and she said, you told me in 2016, when I had my only injury I've ever had was my little stress fracture in my metatarsal. And she's like, you told me when you were in a boot in 2016 that you would make the Olympic team. And I was like, really?
Look at that confidence, Jess.
I was like, I was so confident about it.
Little injured Jess making big, like, lofty goals.
I was like, wow, okay. I mean, I was like, I was kind of proud of myself looking back. I was like, I guess the dream never wavered, but it was crazy when she sent me that. I just couldn't believe it. I was like, wow. And I was kind of like, wow, I was so naive to think that 2016 Olympics, I'll just be there, because there's been so much that's had to go into getting myself to the Olympics for 2021 now. So I guess I did think I would be, but there has to have been some sort of doubt in there. There's no way I could have projecting out that this would be what happened.
It's just like crazy. I feel like after you got that little injury is like kind of where you started like on the uphill, like, or not uphill battle, but like you started getting better and better after that injury.
I think I went home for the summer after that, and I realized like, if I want to be on the other side of the world to the people that I love and care about and don't get to see every day, then like I have to commit and I have to make like the most of what I've got to sort of see where I can go with it. And I think that was like the turning point of like, we started to have like our sophomore year, remember, we both ran at Azusa or something, we ran like a really good 1500 and we were like, wow, we are incredible shape,
wow, we are fit.
Remember, we got to regionals and we thought we are making NCAAs.
Yeah, oh, I knew it. I was like, I'm making it to the list.
it was baby steps from there. Like, we made the regional meet and then the next year made the NCAA meet for the first time. It wasn't like it came all at once. And I think that's like the patience of Marisa was, it never failed to make sure that we stayed on task and eventually got to start stringing some consistent results together. So
yeah, what was funny is like, you talk about the summertime, it was always so like funny just to see everyone come back after the summer and like everyone was assessing who was in shape and who was not, like, and then you go to camp right away and you're like, all right, who's gonna hang on these tempo runs, the like 3 mile tempos at 6 minute pace. It's like, all right, who can hang?
And we thought we were at real altitude and we were at Sun River and it was like 1400 meters and I'm like
yeah, exactly.
And I'm like, that doesn't make a single difference to
no anything. I think it's more just for fun. Like, I love Sun River every time, or Manzanita. Good old Manzanita.
Oh, Manzanita, that was a trip and a half, wasn't it?
We love it. eating good, chomping away.
That was the start of your whole vlog.
I know. I just have a, like, first of all, I have a memory of Rennie like eating her breakfast, and she's like, I can't believe 1,000 people are gonna see this.
And
she just like her hair was like this boof, and she was eating like 5 different things for breakfast before we went running. I was like, what are you doing? And she's like, I can't believe 1,000 people are gonna see this. And it was like, and it, I think it has over 100,000 views now.
Wow.
I'm like, I'm sorry, Rennie, I really put you on blast there.
100,000 views of us just like living it up in Tanzania.
Yeah, that specific video is like one of the weirdest I think I have from our time.
I still go back and watch them because they're so fun to watch. I think the pre-nats one is my favorite.
Yes. I'm really glad I did it. It's fun to like look back and document. I wish so bad I started in 2016.
Yeah, earlier. Yeah.
I wish I documented like that season. That would have been so funny to watch.
Oh my gosh, yeah. From like the highs, like the extreme lows.
The extreme lows to the biggest high you can imagine.
What? And then the triple crown as well. Like it would have been fun to have it all the way through track. So
yeah, I know. Man.
It's also like more special that we would have had it, but at the same time we were also present with where we were that like we have those memories together. So
that's true. I don't even need a video to like remember how fun that season was. So I feel like you've always been a super team oriented person. How has like professional life affected you? Because yes, it is like team based, but I feel like it is a lot more focused on like individuals because it's not like you're competing for team points usually, unless it's like, I don't know, specific races maybe. I don't really know. I don't really know that much about the professional world, but how has it been like kind of transitioning over to more of like the individual side of things?
Yeah, it's definitely different, but I think you can find a way to make it still about a team if some people thrive being all about like their own results and just dialed in. But I think I definitely thrive off momentum and kind of just like my teammates might not be running for the same country as me now, but or like running for the same, not all running for the University of Oregon, but we do run for, like eventually we will have a team name again, but we do run for Pete when we stand out there. And I think that is some unity amongst us all. And it does kickstart momentum. Like I remember watching Donovan in Doha win.
<'cause he was laughs> Demolish everyone.
And break American records. And he was the first of us he went to Doha. We were still all in Bad Ragar, a tiny town in Switzerland, whilst he was racing because we were so much later in the program. And it's just like, it is powerful still. It's like you see him get the result and it's like, wow, okay, well, I guess we're all fit.
Yeah, exactly. If he's like demolishing us, it's like, well, we're doing like similar training, yeah. Basically doing the same thing. We have the same coach, so.
Well, our tapers are working. So that kind of thing, it's still, if you choose to look for those moments, like they're still there. And even to going just like Stockholm Diamond League a couple of weeks ago now was, well, you know, when you walk to the call room and you start to have like the jitters and you're just like, oh gosh, how's today going to go? Like, am I going to get it right or am I going to get it really wrong? Just like, how it's going to go, but like you have those pre-race doubts. And I kind of seen Pete as I was walking to the call room and I hadn't been able to see or hear how Donovan had gone. And asked Pete, I was like, how'd Don go? And he said, oh, he crushed it. Like his last straightaway was just brilliant. And that was all I needed to hear. It was like, all right, if he crushed it, here go Shannon and I. Like, we're going to do our part too. And then Craig later on and Raven later on. So it's still, if you choose to kind of work off each other's momentum, even in workouts too, like, you know, when someone's having a great day and it just brings that whole extra energy. You can still be super teamy. And I was lucky when I was at home that I had a few boys that wanted to help me out in workouts as well. And it just makes it so much more fun. Like you stop thinking about how much it hurts and just being like, well, grateful because they're here. And I'm like, well, if they're going to help me, I'm going to make sure I get the most out of today. And then just like bouncing off each other with the energy is, it's so crucial. And I think it kind of makes it way more enjoyable, which for us to stick in it long-term, it's got to be fun. So that's it. Yeah.
How was the transition from college to professional in terms of like training?
Very different. Not in terms of I guess my 10-day cycle is structured a little bit differently. Like we always there's always a tempo run once every third workout. It's always a super speedy day and then a longer interval day. And I think kind of just consistently having that rhythm versus like you know, you race so much in college that like a lot of it can be about kind of just the Tuesday workout coming off of me is a cushiony recovery workout. And then
that's basically what I get, like, I just in my head, it's ingrained into my head, the weekly structure.
Tempo K's on a Tuesday.
Tempo K's, intervals on the track on Friday, long run Sunday, repeat. Yeah.
Which like works so well in college, especially because it's like just enough stimulus to get results, but hopefully keep you healthy. And set you up for being able to progress when you get to a senior level and running professionally. But yeah, I guess just kind of having that rhythm consistently, and then maybe even this year being able to just lock into that rhythm with no races for so long was very much about like I was just able to get used to it. And yeah, the intensity has increased a lot. I go into a lot of workouts nervous of like, I don't know if I can do it, but I'm going to try until I can't, which luckily so far I go in thinking like if I blow up trying, like I've still had a good day. So I think being able to kind of keep that mentality and keep perspective, because like everything is progress from what I've done before, so not being too bogged down in like one bad workout or getting too excited about one really good workout, and just focused on keeping the mileage up and keeping the weeks together and the intensity high when we're trying to get a big day out of things. And kind of also not getting, as I've gotten used to the workouts, no longer getting like nervous for them, getting ready to like embrace them and be like, all right, I'm getting better. So each time I get to do this workout, it should feel a bit better, which it never does because the paces just get faster.
Yeah, that's the thing about running, is it never gets easier. It literally, I would say it's gotten a lot harder over the years.
Yeah, definitely. And just getting my long run volume up and spending more time on my feet and getting stronger in the weight room. I hadn't done any like super heavy lifting until now. And
are you saying that our organ lifts were not hard for you? I'm just kidding. doing the bar, like doing a clean with the bar.
Yeah. And it was hard.
Back then. The pillars.
Yeah, the pillars that we all tried to worm our way out of.
Yeah. Me successfully, everyone else, I don't know. I feel like you did them. Everyone was doing their bands.
Yeah, I definitely got more compliant to it over the time. Because you know what it's like when you start doing something and then you realize, huh, this actually works.
Yeah,
like,
I actually do feel better when I actually do the pillars and bands and core. It's crazy. Yeah.
Just the little things that make a big difference.
And yeah.
That once you do sort of see, like, you dread them. Like, I mean, there's still days now where I'm like, oh, I'd really like to skip core because I'm just tired, but I will do it because like I know how important it is for the foundation of my running. So, but like, yeah, back then when you were just, until you sort of see the result from it, it's so hard to commit to it. And then you sort of start to see, like you get a bit more consistent and you get a bit more feedback that maybe this works.
Yeah.
Makes you want to be more into it. But yeah, I think being like, because we worked with Dave in Oregon as well, so he knew my body pretty well, but being able to push me a bit harder in the weight room and sort of like doing things that like I didn't think I could lift certain weights, and he would just be like, you're stronger than you think, like give this a go. And I was like, whoa, okay. But yeah, that's definitely made a big difference in my running as well. Like he hadn't seen me for about 5 months because I was in Australia. And we were in Monaco, and the first time he seen me run, and I did a stride, and he was just like, wow, you look so stable. So I know just like little things like that, like attention to detail in the weight room and core and bands and flexibility. And just remember Grant always telling you that your hips were weak and
tight. Dude, that is my favorite quote of the world. Well, Emma, your hips are weak and tight. Oh, really? Surprised.
I'm not surprised about it.
I can't say I'm shocked. I don't think they've ever been strong or flexible, so. Maybe I'll work on that one day. It's all about a progression, you know?
All of us at practice, remember, it used to take us so long because we would sit there and just sit on the foam roller and talk.
I know. The foam rolling was minimal. Maybe after, like, a hard track sesh, I'd, like, get on and foam roll for a few minutes, but I was just talking in the Bowerman.
Basically, I think that's what we were all doing for a long time there, but yeah, and it's like, it is, I guess it's a good thing in a way, because like you can't always, like if you were 17 and you were doing everything religiously right, like where do you go from it? Like it's you got to find your self-improvement.
Exactly. And that's what I feel like it is a progression, because you don't want to start off in high school. Like I feel like I talk about this on every podcast, but like high schoolers these days, some of them are like doing insane mileage, insane workouts. I mean, they're running a lot faster, obviously, because they're doing these things, but it's like, look at Jess. Like, you have to have somewhere to go with these things. Like, you have all of college, and college, mm-hmm. like, the training was hard, I guess. It wasn't insane. Like, I was nervous going to Oregon. I felt like I was going to, like, be destroyed all the time. But it was, like, it was more smart training, like you said, for the racing style. Yeah. Like, we had to race all the time. Like, it was kind of just to tune you up and feel you good and, like, or make you feel good. And just like keep you injury free. But then, like, I mean, you have to tune it up again. Like, you have to have somewhere to go after college. Even if you're running at the biggest level in college, like, you have to have the next level step to go from there. So maybe, you slacked a little bit on the foam roller, but that's like something that you can do in like at the professional level. It's just kind of like all about making those slow progressions to get you where you want to go in the future.
Which it shows how important it is to have people around you that don't rush you as well. Like, I mean, from high school when I was coached by dad, like, our workouts were so small. Like, I think I was running 25 miles a week, if that. And then coming to Marisa and we got up to 40 miles a week and stuff like that. Like, people that just had that long-term goal in mind with you and didn't want it all here and now, and you have to do it now. I think that just shows too how important it is to have the right people looking out for you, not just being one of many kind of things.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're still pretty young. What's the next step for you? What can you work on?
I can definitely work on my lust straight away. And I know that, and I knew that that was my takeaway from Doha last year, was like, okay, I can get to the lust. I can get to 100 to go with these women, but I need to be able to get further than that. I need to not be able to run a 1400 meters race. And even this year, I think we focused a lot on the strength side of things, and that has paid off big time. But I know that I need to get better in the last 80 meters, which is it's funny. I still think back to Coach Rad being like, lift and whip.
Those little like pad drills on the ground or whatever.
Yeah,
you need to start doing those again. Come on.
Oh, we do a lot of stuff similar, but it's still just a matter of like, I still haven't put the perfect race together from start to finish. So there's a lot I can improve there, and I just hope that as I keep getting stronger each year and layering the training together and stay healthy and consistent, that each part of my race plan will get stronger, and eventually that last straightaway is going to come. But it's about also in workouts, like, learning how to be tougher. Like, I reached a new level in training this year, but I think to go to the next step, and I've sort of seen it this past month being with Shannon, is she's just so tough. Like, there is nothing that she thinks she cannot do, and it's a lot of self-belief, but it's also very inspiring to sort of see, and it just shows like how much like more you can get out of yourself sometimes than you think you can. So I think that's a big piece as well. So going forward and not really reading the workout on paper and thinking, well, if I get through 75% of that, I'm good. Kind of just being like, okay, 100% of this, all in. And when it hurts, this is what I need to get better in a smart way, not in a way that's going to lead me down an injury path. But yeah, just being better at learning how to hurt and being very consistent in all aspects, including foam rolling.
Would you say like the mental side now, like at the level that you're at, is more important? I mean, obviously physical is so important, but would you say like you have to work more on, like, what is harder for you, like the physical work or the mental work now at the level that you're at?
I would say they're very even, especially like when you go from race day as well. Race day is a different one because it's a matter of believing that you belong out there in the fields that you get the chance to race in. And I think that it comes from kind of my style of racing as well. Like, I've always been someone that doesn't like to sit back in a pack. And I remember Ashley saying to me one day when like sophomore year or something, being like, eventually you'll be strong enough to just, because I remember in workouts I'd always get off the line way too quick as well.
Yeah, I do remember
that. I would always apologize in advance. I'd be like, I will settle down, I promise. And he was like, no, like one day you'll be strong enough to like not have to settle down. So just things like that stick with you. And I think that's that's somewhere that we can keep going with. And probably mentally that's the thing, is like when I get into these workouts that are pretty tough as well, learning how to strategize so that for the first half I'm not really thinking about the actual rest of the session, I'm just doing one rep at a time. And that's like, I know I also have good eyes on you there, whether it's Pete in Portland or Dad makes an effort to be at everything, everything big when I'm at home. And I know that their judgments are so accurate that if I am looking like I'm done for the day, they're going to make the call. They're not going to leave me out there just like grinding it out and putting myself in a hole. So I think also just trusting that as well is knowing that like if I'm hurting, I can just keep doing it because no one's going to let me get to the point of no return. So they're going to pull me up before then.
Yeah.
It just translates across into races then, because you start to believe what you've done in training and then sort of see yourself amongst those top women and not be afraid to go big and blow up, because at the end of the day at 23, if I blow up in a race, I probably learn a lot more than I do it than if I just sat back and felt good the whole time. So
definitely. Yeah. Gosh, I can imagine how excited your dad is about running these days.
It's pretty cool. It's great. It's I don't know that mum or, because so Declan has just moved out as well, because he got a job a few hours north of home, so they're empty nesters for the first time.
Oh man,
I don't know how much, because then when Declan moved out I was still at home, so for the first month it was kind of like, oh, we still have, you're still here, so we're not. But and then now I think that every night, each night that I race, because it's always the middle of the night at home, I don't know that they actually sleep, because I race and then they won't go to
sleep. Yeah, there's no way your dad is just taking a snoozer while you're racing.
No, they're definitely up watching, but then they won't go to bed until they've talked to me. So I'm like, and sometimes we have a workout or a drug testing and I'm like, it's hours before I get the chance to call them. I'm like, I'm sorry.
You call them and they answer on the first ring.
Yeah. Like they've been waiting there for it, which is awesome. And I wish, I mean, in a different year, maybe they would have been able to be over here, especially Monaco. I know that they would love to be able to come over to Monaco Diamond League 1 year. So even I send mum all the pictures of the places we are. I'm like, 1 year it would just be so fun if you could just like follow me for a year for the summer. I mean, I don't know. That's obviously a very expensive task and demanding, but I think that they would definitely enjoy it. So yeah, maybe one day down the track. It definitely, you will not keep my dad away from Prefontaine or the World Championships in Eugene. That's a guarantee. as long as COVID allows him to travel next year, he will be at anything that happens at the new Hayward Field.
Oh my gosh, I can imagine. Like he came down to Eugene like quite a few times for how long that travel is.
He came every year at least once whilst I was there, and then the year I graduated they came for nationals. They came to Texas and then they came back to Eugene for graduation, and then Dad flew home and then like 7 days later flew back to help me move to Portland. I was just like, how on earth did I get this lucky? So
man, it must be nice to have that support system behind you too.
Yeah, it's definitely, and like it's made it all possible to get to where I am today, is to just have their support for everything. So yeah, they never pushed me to do anything, but they always supported everything I put my mind to. So
that's awesome. Okay, well, we're coming to the end of the podcast, but like, what is your biggest goal in like your running career? Like, what do you want to achieve?
Yeah. Biggest goal, I mean, they change every season, don't they? But I guess ultimately is I want to win a medal somewhere down the line. I mean, you never know when your timing is, and I would love that timing to fall on Hayward Field in 2022. But
oh my gosh, that would be so cool. I'm 100% going to be there.
Right, that would just be like the perfect fairy tale. But I think enjoying everything I do between now and whenever that moment gets opportunity to occur, it'll be way more memorable if I have enjoyed the process to get there than if I get so hooked on, okay, in this race in 2022 or 2024, like that's the one that I'm going to make it happen. Just kind of rolling with the day-to-days, and if the opportunity comes, like just being ready to capitalize on it and sort of just see how far I can take things. I want to run very fast. I think there's potential maybe to take some big chunks out of the Australian records again. So yeah, we'll just we'll see kind of how much having fun can take me.
Yeah, you're already demolishing the scene. You're already like taking those records. This whole season you've been destroying those records. So you're already writing your name in the record book. You're only 23, so I can only imagine what the years to come will bring.
Oh yes, we'll see. That sub four is the first one on the checklist. I hope so.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you'll get that. You'll get that for sure. Oh my gosh, 350 something. I can't even imagine. Amazing. Well, thank you for coming on the podcast. Where can people follow you at? Because I'm sure, well, probably these people already all follow you, but if someone maybe wants to see your journey, where should they check you out?
Yeah, I guess Instagram is probably where I'm most active, and that is Jessica with two A's on the end, Hull, H-U-L-L. I have to spell it all the time because otherwise it's Hall or Hill, or yeah, people get the Hull wrong.
Yeah.
And then I am on Twitter at JessicaHull143, but I am not very active at the moment. Maybe I'll
That's what everyone says when they yeah. see their Twitter. Like, I don't really tweet that much, but
nah, not that much. I scroll through. I get the results in the news that way, but I'm not the most active. So
yeah.
You can follow me on there, and maybe I'll improve in the future.
Yeah, if you get a big enough following, if everyone that listens to this follows Jess on Twitter, then she'll maybe start posting.
Maybe.
Amazing. Well, thanks so much for coming on. This was really fun. It's nice to catch up. I feel like I haven't talked to you in a while. And like, I feel like you're one of the most inspiring people, even in my life, just like see you from when you first got to Oregon to now, it's like crazy. And it inspires me because you have such a good attitude, and you've always been like one of the most positive people. Like even at my experience at Oregon, it's like you were very team oriented. And like when you're at that like level, when you're winning NCAAs, like sometimes, like you never let it get to your head. You were always like so team oriented, and I think that like speaks a lot of your character. So I'm just gassing you up right now.
Yeah, you're making me get teary. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, but thank you so much for coming on. I'm sure people are inspired by you.
Oh, no worries. Thanks for having me. Maybe again sometime down the track.
Yeah, of course. When you start breaking more records. After you win the Olympics.
Okay, make it a date. I don't want to lock it in there.
yeah, we'll see. Okay, to close out the podcast, wow, for good old times, can you give us a good old peace out, fellas?
Peace out, fellas. Have a good day.
Thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode of Convos Over Cold Brew. I really enjoyed this episode with Jess. She's super easy to talk to, obviously. Good to catch up. She's one of my biggest running inspirations. Big shout out to Amy M for supporting the podcast. I give one of my supporters a shout out in each episode, and it's super easy to support the podcast just through the Anchor platform. You can donate 99 cents a month, $4.99 and $9.99, I believe, and it really helps me continue to do these podcasts, reaching out to guests, chatting away, spending time on it. Another free way to support the podcast is by rating and reviewing on Apple Podcasts. I love hearing your guys' feedback, and it just helps grow the podcast super organically. Again, thank you guys so much for listening or watching. If you're on YouTube, make sure to go check that out, and I will hear from you guys in the next one. Peace out, fellas.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants. They all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.